Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. So today we're going to talk about how we can understand our unique decision-making processes and how we can overcome our fears and doubts. Are you ever paralyzed by doubt about your decisions or face uncertainty and indecision that has kept you back from realizing your dreams? Well, we have Ann Tucker here today. She's the author of Undoubtedly Awesome, Your Own Personal Roadmap from Doubt to Flow. Ann Tucker is an international speaker for the decision-making and leadership techniques she's developed and shares her unique perspective and theories with you in her remarkable self-help guide, Undoubtedly Awesome, Your Own Personal Roadmap from Doubt to Flow, and developed her mythology for understanding decision-making by soul type during her years as the co-founder of Gray Matter Partners, which is a leadership development firm based in Seattle. She also founded Wisdom Soup, a closely curated learning community designed to help its members achieve breakthrough spiritual growth and insight in order to achieve practical real-life goals. So welcome, Anne.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, that's great. Well, for some minute, I always start with people telling their story. So how this came about for you to be in this role of helping people with decision making and leadership techniques, how you develop this process to create a roadmap from doubt to flow for you and for yourself. I mean, because I imagine this was a learning experience that you discovered for yourself as well.
Oh, absolutely, and it's actually the whole idea of understanding things through decision making started way back when I used to be a negotiator for Microsoft. So I started out with all this training around decision making and things like that. And then when I left and went into consulting, that was my natural access point, was looking with, I was working with leaders, understanding their successes and understanding their weaknesses through the process that they were using for making decisions. So that was always my lens that I was looking through. But what I didn't anticipate and what ended up being so amazingly valuable was that as I was looking at people through this, you know, relatively narrow focus that gave me access to huge amounts of understanding, I started to see these patterns. You know, I'd be when you're working and coaching with someone, you tend to, you know, you interview them and you find out their own perspective about themselves. And then you do like a 360 interview. You talk to everybody around them. And so you get all these different perspectives on the same person. So you get a really clear picture of their strengths and their weaknesses. Then you take that same process and you do it over and over and over and over again. And patterns start to emerge. And I started to see these really clear patterns about decisions and how people were making them. And I realized it all came back to soul type, that these aren't things that we developed, that we learned. It's not a habit that you developed. It's something that you're born with. You can see it in your own children the minute that they come out. So it was really eye-opening for me. And once I understood my own soul type, I understood how I made decisions, I started to look at, well, how does this really factor in terms of my life? How is it impacting me? And it's huge, actually. What it does is it makes me very aware of what my own strengths are, so what value that I specifically can bring. So where in the decision process or in the creative process are my unique natural skills going to be? And then what are the skills that I need to develop? Where are my weaknesses? And what other people, what kinds of people should I be leaning on to help me to grow in those areas? So it's really changed how I, not only how I solve problems, but it's changed how I walk into a cocktail party, because now I'm looking at everybody figuring out their soul type. So,
well, and just because I want to bring, because it made put a question in my mind, and it's not probably related to what you do, but it seems like you're talking about what we're born with. Do you ever figure in the astrological signs? Because there's, you know, types with that.
It's interesting. Yeah. But you know what? They are actually are not aligned. And I think it's because your astrological sign is so much about your personality. There's so much to it. And what I'm looking at with soul type is specifically how you create. And there probably is some, I actually looked to see if there was an overlap, and there wasn't a consistent trend, or, you know, you couldn't say a one-to-one correlation. Maybe there is a slight gathering where you have maybe a little bit more of one site type into soul type, you know, but it's not, there's not enough of a correlation to say it's definitive. And it just speaks to the fact that when you're looking at soul type, you know, the way I think about it is if you're thinking about decisions specifically, it's like your decision is like a prism that if you take all of your energy, all the creative energy that you have, all your thoughts, your emotion, everything that you use to sort of manifest in the world, and it's kind of scattered everywhere, it's just kind of emanating everywhere. And then if you make a decision, that decision acts like a prism where you throw all that energy into this prism and it focuses it like a laser beam and it puts it in one direction. And that's how we manifest, it's how we create. And so when you're looking at any problem that you come into, any problem that you find in the world, I think of every problem as like a seven-sided shape. Like every side, every one of those seven sides has its own door, and each of us has one key into one of those doors. So our favorite way into the problem, and every problem we come up to, whether it's like picking your morning muffin, or it's you know, which college you're going to go to when you're young, or which career you're going to choose, we're going to use that same door, that same doorway into the problem. So it really is, it's such a specific and narrow thing to look at in terms of, it's not looking at your personality, it's looking at how you create, how you manifest in the world. But it's so important because if you're going to choose one thing that is going to have the biggest bang for your buck, and so in terms of what you can work on about yourself, what can have the biggest impact, decisions are it, because they're at the beginning of everything you do and they determine everything that comes next.
Yeah, that's so true. And we're going to talk a lot about this. There's many aspects. Now, one of the things in this, because you know, the topic is about doubt, because we doubt our decisions, mm-hmm. and that gets us into mm-hmm. trouble. So that, how does that negatively affect our life? And then we get in that loop of anxiety because, oh my, yes. my goodness, did I make the right decision? Or what decision should I make? You know, creates anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the, you know, the way that doubt affects us, depending on it, honestly, it differs from person to person. And I think it's different because I think we think of doubt as being a one size fits all, that our experience of doubt is the way everybody experiences doubt, but it's actually different and it's going to affect you differently depending on your soul type. Because some soul types are going to feel it much more on the front end, that they're really going to struggle with doubt as they're trying to enter into the decision, that they're going to spend a whole lot more time evaluating their options and feeling that anxiety there. Other soul types feel it more on the back end, post-decision, you know, where they've made a commitment or they've chosen something, and then that's when that, you know, regret comes in or that dissatisfaction comes in and they feel that anxiety at that point. So it is going to depend, and that's why understanding the soul type is so important in terms of being able to not only understand where you're susceptible to doubt, but what you can do about it.
Yeah, so we're going to go into soul types later. But first, let's talk about the mental processes that we go through. So you have in your book, you talk about the different phases.
Yeah.
In the process. So let's, if you could share that.
Yeah, sure. So, and are you thinking of the different phases of a decision?
Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever you make a decision, you're going to be going through several different stages. And this is, you know, if you had to sort of take what is a generic way of making decisions, and this isn't how any one person makes decisions. We all differ from this model to some degree. But all of us sort of fall into these buckets, you know, whenever you're making a choice to some degree. And so the four stages are orientation, comparison, emergence, and reinforcement. And what you're doing in each of those four stages in the beginning, so at the beginning of a decision that you make, this is, like I said, the general academic discussion of how to make decisions. Then you have this orientation where you're sort of figuring out the problem, right? Then you move over into comparison, which is where you're looking at all your options, your option shopping, you're comparing one thing to the next. And as you get towards the end of that comparison stage, you're ready to start narrowing down your options. You're going to go into emergence, where one best choice emerges. So that process is, you know, gradually narrowing down, and you're starting to get invested in the one best choice. And once you get to the end of emergence, you've narrowed it down to your favorite thing, and you're ready to leap, and you're going to really commit to that choice. And once you've committed to it, fully committed, then you're going to move into stage four, which is reinforcement. And that's where it's like your thinking, how you think about the thing you've chosen, completely changes, and you start to fall in love with what you've chosen. So, and it's an actual, it's like it flips a switch in your head in terms of how you conceptualize and think about your decision.
Or it's a justification that don't make us feel good about having made the decision.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
How many times
do
we do that?
I know, but I think that's so interesting because we think of it as, oh, I'm just justifying and making myself feel better. And yes, but that is so powerful because here's how it works is that before you make a decision, you have this, and it's like a thinking tool. It's a thing I call your difference engine. It's the way that we go into any decision is you're thinking about if you're choosing between two things, you're trying to decide which one is better, this one or that one, and you're comparing. And comparison is a really useful tool because it helps us to kind of rule out a lot of ambiguity, helps us to narrow our focus down to, rather than having to know absolutely everything about our choice, we just have to look at these two things and see what's different about them. Maybe one is bigger, one is smaller, maybe one is a better color, right? You're choosing from a much smaller menu of things to consider. So comparison works amazingly well on the front end of a decision, and it puts you through this process of better or worse, which one do I like better? But if you stay in comparison mode after you've chosen something, say you've picked something, but you're continuing to compare it. You've chosen this one thing, but now another thing walks along and you're saying, well, which one is better, the one that I have or the new one? And it's anytime you go back to that original one that you chose, it's like, well, you're going to reevaluate the benefits. You're going to think about them again in comparison to this new choice. And every time you go back and compare again, those benefits are going to be, it's like hearing a joke for the second or third time. It's just not as funny, right? And so you go back and you look at those benefits and they don't speak to your heart the same way they did the first time. They start to lose their power. And that starts to make you feel, oh, maybe this wasn't such a good choice. Maybe I should have picked the other one. You're just not really sure. And it throws you into doubt. Whereas on the other hand, when you fully commit, when you do this process that's fully committing to your decision, then all of a sudden it flips you out of that comparison mode. It flips your difference engine into a different mode. And it makes it, rather than asking you the question of which one do you like better or worse, it completely changes the question to what is better about the thing that I chose.
Yeah,
so it causes you...
And I'm going to have to interrupt because we have to take a break. So we're going to continue with this talking about excuse me, commitments. So we'll come back from our break and talk more with Ann Tucker.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's danacanetto.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important?
Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to the hit show Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Treat the body and expand the soul on June 1st with Lynn Brown. Imagine 3 days in a hand-built log home nestled in the Cascade Mountain. Activate the collaboration between the body and spirit and allow the accelerated connection as one of the most powerful ways to light up your cells, honor the body's needs in this all-inclusive event. Visit lynnmbrown.com or call 206-931-7356.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we're talking with Ann Tucker, author of Undoubtedly Awesome, Your Own Personal Roadmap from Doubt to Flow. So we just ended, we were talking about commitment, and there is some aspects around commitment as well. Ann, I'd love for you to talk about, I mean, and it's hard to make those commitments, you know, that's where we kind of go into the doubt when, you know, that just that just before we get to commitment, we go, oh, is this going to be the right decision?
Yeah, it is. That is the part where it's sort of like you're leaping, you know, leaping over a canyon. And I have a little, you know, graphic in my book, and I depict it as jumping over a canyon. It's that feeling of, okay, I'm really doing it now. It's such a critical thing to make that leap. Because, you know, like I was saying, is that when you are fully committed to your decision, it actually changes how you think. So it is a critical piece of the puzzle. But a lot of us think, you know, it's like when we think about decision making, we think that we're done with the decision before we actually are. So a lot of us will think, oh, I've decided, but in a way that's a little premature. So we think that the process of the moment of commitment where you sort of hand over your credit card or you turn left instead of right, that action moment, we think that's the decision and we think we're done. So most people think the whole decision process is just this first phase, which is comparing the options and then picking one and choosing it. And then that's the decision period, end of subject. But it's not. That's only phase one. And if you stop there, then your thinking about the process doesn't change and it prevents you from falling in love with your choice. And the two things that have to happen after that are so critical is that you have to, number one, you have to give up your alternatives. And so that means that once you've picked something is that if you have other options you were considering, you have to give those up, is that you can't keep those around. So, you know, if that means that if you're dating and you want this relationship to work, you got to stop sending holiday cards to your ex. You know, you've got to really if you're buying a car, throw away the old brochures you were considering. If you've bought a pair of pants, stop shopping. Stop going out and shopping to see if you got the better deal, right? Don't do confirmation shopping. So it's the idea of really giving up on all the other alternatives and settling with the one that you picked, or not, hopefully not settling, but committing to the one that you picked. And then the second thing you have to do is to burn your bridges. So any door you've left yourself open to then go back on your decision, you got to close it. And that means that if you bought those pair of pants, you got to take the tags off. And, you know, if you have a contract that allows you to back out of it, you got to make sure that you're physically, that you're, you know, in every way that you're 100% committed, that you've done something that makes you feel emotionally committed. So, and there's a really interesting website called STIC, STI, KK, I think, or STICKK, but it's started by a couple of university professors. And it's a goal setting website. And what it does is when you go onto the website, if you really want to commit to the thing that you're choosing, you can sign up with a certain amount of money. Say that it's to put $500 down and you bet yourself, it's okay, I'm going to lose 10 pounds and here's 500 bucks that says I'm going to do it. And if you succeed in losing the 10 pounds, you get your 500 bucks back. But if you don't, then they take your 500 bucks and they're going to donate it to some cause that you hate. So it's in a way you're really putting yourself on the line. You're putting your money on the line, and you're making a commitment you can't turn back from. You're burning your bridges, right? And then when you do that full commitment, you commit, you give up your alternatives, and you burn your bridges. That full emotional investment allows your brain to switch away from comparing, which what it was doing, your difference engine was comparing before, and all of a sudden now it's asking you this totally different question, which is, which one do I like better, right? Not which one do I like better, but what is better about the thing that I chose? And so when you do that, all of a sudden, imagine like after you've bought a car and you're driving around, all of a sudden you're going to notice all the other cars on the road that are like yours. Or you're going to notice features about your car that you really appreciate that you hadn't dwelt on before. Or you're going to start taking it out. You know, maybe it's got a sunroof. You're going to open it on the sunny day using those features. You're going to collect input from other people that help to confirm and support your choice. So, and the interesting thing is that if there is any bad news about your decision, that you actually won't take it up. You won't hear it. And it's an actual measure. It's called selective update failure, where you actually won't hear the bad news about the thing that you've chosen. You will retain and hear the good news about the things that you've chosen. So all of these things, you could say, yeah, we're just tricking ourselves. We're fooling ourselves to like the thing that we liked. But this is the process of falling in love with what you chose.
Yeah, that's great. I just went through this whole system myself.
Yeah,
because I'm going. Because I'm going to Kenya, and I have a friend there, and we're booking for a safari. Now there's lots of choices of safari and all sorts of price ranges, and some things, you know, one place we're supposed to go fell through, and then trying to find another place, we're having somebody there working with us, a friend, and then narrowing it down, going through that whole selection. Okay, this will work. And you know, looking out, you know, there's 2-3 choices that you narrow in. And just like you said, you kind of narrow it down to 2-3 places.
Yeah.
And then making that commitment, like, okay, now it's committed because we've emailed the commitment and we're paying the money. And
yes.
it's like, don't even look at the other places and compare. Don't go. So I've closed screens,
right.
You know, on my website. Like, okay, I can't look at these anymore because I'm in
yes.
a, you know, and what I have is fine. It's going to be great. And it's a great
mm-hmm.
price. And it, you know, it fits, you know, so it's interesting to go, but it's frustrating in the moment, the anxiety of kind of going through what's the right decision, what's going to work best, and going through that
yes.
search mode can get very frustrating. And I was just and if things aren't coming together quite right, and I always know and trust, well, things in the end do come together. Sometimes it's just a timing
mm-hmm.
thing, you know, so it all came together and everything's fine.
And now you're committed and you've chosen the one that
yeah.
you're going to go on. You've picked.
Yeah.
And I think you know, what's so interesting about that is I think on the front end of the decision, we put so much pressure on ourselves, and it's not very kind to ourselves, is that we have this idea that there's one best choice, right? That of all the trips that you could evaluate, that it was up to you to search through all the information and find that there was going to be one that was going to be better than all the others. And then the thing where we're really kind of mean to ourselves is that we assume that if we pick the wrong one, it's because we were wrong, or we weren't smart enough, or we weren't careful enough, or we didn't do enough research, right? We put all this blame on ourselves that we picked the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is that in any of those programs that you considered, every single one of them, once you'd narrowed it down, right, to your top two or three, every single one of those top two or three are going to have good things about them and bad things about them. So they're going to have, everyone is going to have, there might be different strengths and weaknesses, but everyone is going to have negatives and everyone is going to have positives, because that's just life. And what makes the difference as to whether or not you pick the best one has a whole lot less to do with what you picked, with which of those three that you picked, and a whole lot more to do with the process that you used to pick them. And the reason for that is because the process that you use allows you to engage this switch flipping in your head, allows you to fall in love if you do the full commitment. If you commit, you give up your alternatives, you burn your bridges, you switch that switch in your brain, and all of a sudden you allow yourself to fall in love. And you know, and what happens when you love your decision? Well, all of that energy that you have, all that creative power that you have, it's all harnessed, and it's, you've got that prison there of your chosen decision, and you're putting all of your own ability to manifest, all of your creative power is going in that one direction, the direction of the one thing that you picked. And your energy is what's making it work, right? It's your, you are the chooser, you are the power, and you're the one that's making that choice to be as successful as it could be. So what makes it successful isn't the fact that you picked the right thing, it's that you created the right thing by choosing, and by the process that you used to choose it.
Yes, and now I can go further and, you know, plan all the everything else and get excited about everything else. And you know, yeah, this major decision, because it was one of the things that was holding back from knowing what the whole trip was going to be, you know, so yeah, I can move forward, because before this, yeah, I couldn't move forward. And it's a nice relief. It's kind of a relief to go, okay, now I can breathe. Yeah. Okay, that's that's done.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And that, you know, and that's the nice thing about it, is that once you've picked and you're fully committed to that choice, well, then all the secondary steps that you take in terms of planning and what will you pack and all of these preparatory steps that you take are all confirming and supporting the decision that you make and making you feel better. You get excited about it. You start anticipating. You know, it's all supporting your decision and helping you to fall more in love with your choice. You feel better. And that, the nice thing about that is it makes you feel better about yourself as a decision maker. You feel more confident about your ability to make good choices. So that makes the next decision go better.
Yeah. Yeah. So what about, because I'm sure you deal with people that they doubt the decision and they're not feeling satisfied.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. And that, you know, and that is, you know, I think there's a lot of people that work themselves right up to that edge, is that they'll pick something, but they don't give up their alternatives. They don't burn their bridges. And what they end up doing is they sort of stay on that edge. If you imagine, and I draw it in my book as a picture of like a ski jump, you know, and you have sort of phase one is the beginning, as you're sort of climbing onto the ski jump. And then that phase two of comparison, you're going up the steep hill up to the top of the jump. And then emergence is you're sliding down the steep ramp of the jump, and you get to the end, and you're supposed to jump over the canyon. You know, that's the idea, is jump to get to the other side so you can fall in love with your choice. But a lot of people, they never make that full commitment, and they sort of stay on the edge there, at the edge of the ski jump, kind of looking down over the cliff and looking down into the canyon. And the interesting thing is that the longer you stay there at the edge, the harder it is to make a choice, because your brain starts, rather than comparing the alternative of, you know, looking at whether or not you like the thing you chose, you start comparing the risk of jumping to commit to the safety, you know, perceived safety of not jumping, that it feels safer not to commit. So you start backing away from your decision and looking for other alternatives and leaning out of your decision. And when you lean out, when you're in that doubt cycle, then you know, that's what sort of doubt does to us, is it pulls us away from our choices. And it takes that energy I'm talking about, that thinking energy, that emotion energy, and you've got a teeny bit going forward towards your decision, but you've got a whole lot more going in the opposite. Some going off to the left, some going off to the right. So you're not moving forward. You're taking one step forward, three steps back, and one to the left.
Yes. Well, we're going to take take another break. So much information you're sharing, but we're going to take a break and we'll come back and talk more. We're going to talk about the soul types that Anne's program has set up.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit SpiritFireRetreatCenter.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and today we have Ann Tucker with us. She's author of Undoubtedly Awesome, Your Own Personal Roadmap from Doubt to Flow. So we've been talking about this, making decisions, making commitments, and then, you know, burning the bridges to the other, all those choices that you were looking at. So, Ann, please give your website and what you have available for people on your website.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you would like to know your soul type, and we're going to go into the soul types here in a little bit about what they mean, but if you would like to know your own soul type, you can go to my website for the book, which is called UndoubtedlyAwesome.com. It's the name of the website, UndoubtedlyAwesome.com. And there is a free survey on there you can take, which will tell you your soul type and give you some information about it that's actually in addition to what's in the book. It's different from what's in the book. So so check that out. Even if you have the book, it's still fun to go on there and get a little bit of extra for fun. So I also have a website called wisdomsoup.com, which is an online social learning community for spirituality and personal growth. And it has limited enrollment windows, but it's open now, and it's leading a group of people through a 12-month process. I call it the five-step process to speed up serendipity. So that's really a lot of fun, really helpful. So if people are interested in that, they can go to the web page and find out all about it.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I think I'll have to go because I've read the book, and I'll have to say, and it's probably because I'm a Libra and a number 9 on the Enneagram, is that I see myself in a lot of the soul, you know, I can't narrow it to one because I see myself and in different situations. Yes. I see myself in this one and that one and that one. So maybe I'll take the test on the website because maybe it'll help narrow it down. So let's talk about these 7 decision-making soul types.
Well, if you like, we can do, if you went through it and had difficulty on your own, I can help you figure out your soul type now if you're willing to do that.
Well, maybe in a little bit. Let's just talk about the concept.
Sure. Right. On the air. Everybody will know your deep secrets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can be as you're looking at it. The reason why it's probably hard for you, if you're looking at it specifically, is because while each of us is born from birth, we come out with one native soul type. It's your natural soul type. And this is the way that when you come to a problem, this is going to be your favorite toolkit. This is going to be your favorite way of handling it. But as you go through life and as you become more flexible, say that you're put in a job where you're having to do things that are not necessarily natural to you, and you learn new skills. So you may, in your lifetime, there may be one or two other soul types that you develop those skills and you learn how to do some of the strengths that they have. You learn how to emulate those and to bring those in into your own experience. But at the end of the day, everybody has one soul type that is their natural gift, and this is the thing that they're going to be best at. So there are seven different types, and the way I like to think about them is that it's like a sequence. And if you go through the process of solving a problem, and remember I said before that a problem is like a seven-sided shape, and that there's seven doors, and each of us has one of those doors. Well, if this was actually linear and you're working your way through a problem, it is sort of step by step. As each of us, our favorite way into the problem is in a different portion of the problem. And that's why it's so magic when we work on things in groups, right? Everybody's bringing a different element of problem solving, and it's all cooperative. All of it, we all help each other when we work together. So do you like me to describe the different seven types?
Yes, great.
Okay, so the first one is their specific area where they are strongest is in figuring out solutions, and they're called the optimizing soul type. And the optimizer, what they can do is they are the true innovators. They tend to have a very nonlinear way of thinking. Rather than going A, B, C, D, they go A, F, G, 1. And they tend to think of things that are completely outside the box. They combine existing things in totally new ways and come up with things that are, it's hard to even understand how they got from there to there, right? And the way that they come at the idea, they have this problem and they have this moment of inspiration where they have this strong visual. It's like they project themselves into the future and they see their idea and they're living in that future space as if it already exists. So they're really great at bringing new ideas and new solutions into the world. So that's their particular gift. And then there's a sort of a complementary soul type called the learning soul type. And they're also good at figuring out solutions, but they do it from an opposite perspective. They do it using logic and analysis. So these are your deep thinkers. And they really, the learning soul types, they love mastery. They love developing expertise. And they love things that require practice and dedication, things that are really where they can go deep on a subject. And the particular gift that they bring is to remain as open-minded as they can longer than any other soul type, because they do love that exploration and they don't tend to fall in love with their ideas too easily. They tend to be able to keep that objectivity so that when they make a decision, it's usually a really good one. So these are your very excellent thinkers as your learning soul types. And then the next two soul types are focused on the next part of the problem. So wherever you've got just solution, now you need a plan. And that's where your efficient soul comes in. Your efficient soul comes in to help you with your planning. And these are our very, very strategic souls. They are the ones that are able to stay at the 30,000-foot level and look down at the problem and see the whole thing like a chessboard. And they're able to see all the different resources that are available to them and to understand, you know, what things they need to do in order to get from A to Z as quickly as possible, right? And they are not opposed to giving up their queen in order to win the game, right? So they understand the strategy and they keep that detachment and they're able to essentially be as efficient as possible, particularly in planning an approach, planning the use of resources and how to accomplish something. They're extremely good at that. And then the complement is also good at figuring out the plan is your coaching souls, but they do it from a different perspective. Rather than thinking about physical resources, they're thinking about people resources. They're focused on people. And your coaching souls, they are particularly good at when they look at someone, they have this sort of amazing, this is intuitive, as they look at people and they tend to look at a person and see what is absolutely best about them. They see them as their best self. And even if this person might not be bringing that aspect of themselves out into the world, when they meet a coaching soul, the coaching soul sees this in them and sees it as if it's already happening, as if they're already living up to this best version of themselves. So when you talk to a coaching soul, what's reflected back to you is your best self, and it inspires you to live up to how they see you. So they're amazing people developers, people managers. So they're really able to see that in people. And then the next soul type is focused on the next stage of problem solving. So you, right now, you've already got your solution, you've got a plan. Now you need to get everybody aligned around that plan, and that's where your expressive souls come in. And your expressive souls have a really direct connection with their emotions, and that speed that the emotions give them, and the power of emotions, the way that it can tap into how people feel, allows them to be more influential and more persuasive than any other soul type. So they're going to be able to find a point of view on a subject quicker than anybody else, and they're going to be able to state it in a way that appeals to you more strongly. It's almost like they can put words to feelings that you have that you weren't able to express before, so they can speak for us. And they're amazing at getting people aligned around a cause or around a purpose, or to help you make sense of the sacrifices that you're making or the work that you're doing in life. They provide that story for us that can bind us all together and create a shared experience. And then after that, we need someone. Now we've got our solution, we've got a plan, everybody's aligned around it. Now we need to get moving. And that's where your experimenting soul comes in. An experimenting soul, they are all about creating momentum. They're extremely action-focused, and their decision process supports this. So they tend to look at the problem, they'll look at all the data, and they'll be able to intuitively know what are the two or three things here that really matter, that are the important things that are going to make all the difference. They seize those, they come up with a plan of what's probably going to work, and then they immediately put into action and start testing it. And they're constantly testing it, and as they're moving in this direction, they get moving immediately, they're constantly scanning the horizon to say, okay, is this plan still working? But they've always got plan B in their pockets. They're always looking left and right. Is there something better? Is there something I didn't consider? Or should I be moving on to plan B? So they're able, because they don't spend a whole lot of time in that comparison and evaluation period, they move right into action. So they have this amazing ability to generate a ton of momentum. They go from 0 to 60 like that, and they can take a whole company with them. So they're amazing powerhouses of energy. And the last soul type is what I call the collaborative soul, and they're also focused on getting us moving, but they're focused on the collective. They're focused on bringing everybody along. So we've got this whole plan, we've got a solution, we've got everybody's rallied around it, but how do we bring everybody into the solution? How do we get everybody collected and bought into this and coming along with us? So your collaborative souls are really, really great about finding those common elements and bringing people in and making sure that everyone's participated, and they're going to be naturally seeking out solutions that raise all boats in a rising tide. So they're really focused on things that are best for the collective. So you're going to find in any group that you're in, that person who's sort of in the middle, that's really the heart of the group that binds everyone together. They're the ones that show up early and stay late to help clean up. That's your collaborative souls. And that's the seven soul types.
Okay. And that's a lot.
I know.
And you know what I'm thinking is, like, that's perfect. You need to, if you want to start a board, you need to find one of each of those. You have seven people on a board,
yeah.
Perfect number, and each one of a different soul type, you'd have a very functioning board.
Isn't, you know, it's so funny because, you know, I have been an executive coach for years, and you look at this and theoretically, the perfect team would have one of every soul type, at least one, right, of every soul type. Mm-hmm. And then you have a totally balanced board or totally balanced team, and you would be able to all work together beautifully and create this something amazing. And I do think when we come together as a group, you have this feeling. It's sort of like, it's like if you imagine, you know, if you imagine way back when, before there was anything, and this is just a, you know, hypothetical story, but imagine source energy or God or universe, however you like to describe it, floating around before there was anything. And it wants to understand itself. So how does it do it? Well, it needs something to compare itself to. So it divides itself into seven pieces and gives us each our one piece, right? Our soul type, our creative gift. And so then when we all come back together again and we're working together a group, it's like we're recreating source energy. It's like we're bringing it all back together again and becoming, in a sense, closer to that original oneness. And I think that's why it feels so great.
Yeah, that's a fascinating way to look at it. And there's a lot of talk about unifying in our consciousness and all that. Well, we have to take another break. So stay tuned. We'll come back and talk more with Ann Tucker.
Yeah.
Treat the Body and Expand the Soul on June 1st with Lynn Brown. In this all-inclusive retreat, you'll treat your body with breakout sessions in the various elements of nature, enjoy fireside chats while harnessing the healing energy of fire, allow more light with more ease, and activate that connection between the body and spirit. Call 206-931-7356 or visit lynnmbrown.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-9000. 972-5366.
Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit cambokiss.com. Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Well, we're back on Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis and talking with Ann Tucker. She's the author of Undoubtedly Awesome, Your Own Personal Roadmap from Doubt to Flow. And I guess I want you to share, so you just gave all the seven soul types. I wonder if you could share an example of someone you coached who helped them work through their decision-making processes, their doubts, identify their soul type. How did they change their way of making decisions and how did it change their life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, okay, and it's amazing the different ways in which understanding this information can impact you, not only in your personal life, you know, with your family, your children, but in your work. Because frequently, and in work, the reason it's so impactful is because the thing that we tend to do a lot of at work is making decisions. That's where we're creating, is at work. So there's one particular woman that I was coaching who's very, very talented and had a lot of potential, but there were issues for her around in terms of just the getting along with her employees, the people that were on her team. And she had inherited this team, and her particular soul type is what I call the efficient soul. And she is, Efficient Souls are fantastic at setting out the plan of figuring out what to do. And then, and their plan, when they come up with it, they're going to see it very insightfully. They're going to have this incredibly strategic view of it. And that's what she did. She was essentially setting out the product direction for the company for the next several years. And she was incredibly good at it, right? This woman had amazing insight in terms of where the industry was going, these long-term strategic view of how things were going to unfold. So in terms of planning out the product, you could not have picked a better person. The difficulty was that she would come up with these amazing plans and she wasn't communicating her thinking, right? She wasn't focused on the people that were working for her, because that's not natural to the express efficient soul type. They tend to do all the thinking in their head, and then they tend to be more directive about, okay, this is what you need to do. Everybody go do this. But she doesn't share the why. She doesn't share the bigger picture that's in her mind. So there was this discord on her team of people feeling like she wasn't communicating, people feeling like they didn't understand, people weren't buying in to the whole process. So what we did is not only talking her through this experience of, okay, this is what's happening and this is why, and your plans are amazing, but you do actually have to get people to follow you. This is really important. So we brought in a collaborative soul on her team who happened to be, it was the person who was at the right leadership level, who was able to step into this role. Said, okay, this person's job is to bring everybody along. And so you're going to come up with a plan, and then I want you to work with this collaborative soul who's going to help you to get buy-in into your plan and to make sure that everybody who has a stake in this has thought through the issues, that you've effectively communicated and over-communicated your thinking. And so they became just the absolute dynamic duo, the two of them together. So it was a fantastic partnership, and there was places where they had conflict for sure because their priorities were so different. And my efficient soul, she would be a little impatient sometimes with the process, but between the two of them, they ended up being able to really bring. So she had the fantastic vision in a collaborative soul. He was, you know, particularly good about making sure that everyone felt inclusive, and they got fantastic. She ended up, her scores as a leader when they did the leadership review were just off the charts. So everybody felt very engaged, which was a new thing for her. So it was really impactful.
Well, and like you talk about the personality things, like you have to have the right person working with you. Like you said, yeah. You know, because, yeah, that patience, because I can relate to the efficiency one, too. You know, I have, especially if you're a leader of a group, you know, you have the vision and the ideas. You know how, one of my strengths is I know all the details that go to make the final plan, the final vision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it actually stemmed from, I was a pattern maker and I had learned, I met some people a few years ago, came running into people, they had been pattern makers and they were also event coordinators. Oh, that makes sense. Cause I know what the finished garment is going to look like. And I know all the details that goes into make it when you're a pattern maker, you just know all that. And so, and I found very few people that have that both, you know, usually it's a vision maker or it's a detail person and I can do both. And so that's why I feel like I'm, you know, all over the place on these soul types,
but that's really normal. Normal because you developed, you know, one of those you were born with and one you developed in response to the work that you were doing, you know, and you grew in that area. So that's a common, and I think it shows being flexible, right? It shows you being able to adapt and be flexible, which is great.
Yes. So one of the aspects that you talk about in your book is, well, let's deal with fear, because at the end of your book, you talk about fears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how to deal with the fears and anxiety.
Right. And it's interesting. So like I was saying that, you know, everybody has their own soul type, but then there's those particular subjects that you run into that are going to be your particular fear subject. So it might be finances. It might be your health, right? It might be the fear of being abandoned in a relationship. So it might be around your relationship. So, but whatever that particular area is in those decisions around that specific area, you might behave differently, right? Your normal decision process that you use that's associated with your soul type, you might shift it. And what it feels like is, you know, when we feel fear, it's like the experience of fear, the feeling of fear. If you imagine it sort of bubbling up from inside you, and it's that anxious, clenchy feeling, and we don't want that feeling, so what we do is we resist it, right? We push it down. I don't want to feel that bad feeling. I'm going to push it down, and I'm going to try to control the feeling, and I'm going to try to control the environment. And that feeling of trying to exert that control, that that is expressed in the process that you're using to make decisions. So what it might look like is, say you're entering into decision and you might resist making the decision as long as you possibly can. You might say, okay, I don't want to even think about this. I'm going to resist it. I'm going to push back. I'm going to try not to change. But if it gets to a place where you have to change, then you might go into looking for the nearest, most quickly available solution to get out of the decision process as quick as you possibly can. So this process of making decisions quickly, of choosing the first available option, it's called satisficing, and it makes you what's called a local optimizer, localizing, in other words, looking for the nearest option that is going to work. And it's a perfectly fine way of making decisions, except if you make a lot of decisions this way in your life, what you're going to end up with is a life that's just good enough, right? Is that you're not going to stretch yourself to reach for, well, maybe this option is okay, but let me look at two or three others in case there's something better out there, right? In case there's something that's going to stretch me or grow me or bring me into a new thing, something that I hadn't even considered. So fear prevents you from having that broader experience of what else could be out there. Could there be something bigger that I'd never even considered? And it's that same feeling of resisting the feeling of exerting control over the feeling and exerting control over the decision. Well, that resistance we're creating in ourselves and in our environment, that is what's taking us out of flow. So that's why in my book I talk about doubt, and I talk about going from doubt to flow. Because, you know, when you're, you know, what is flow? Flow is the absence of resistance. It's that feeling of a friction-free environment where everything is going in your way and everything is lining up along with you, and you're getting the resources that you need when you need them, and everybody's agreeing with you, and you're getting the front parking spot at the grocery store, and there's all green lights, right? That's flow.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah. So we all want flow, and we're going to have to flow with on to the end of our show now. Thank you. Thank you so much, Anne. There's so much information. I recommend people getting the book. Undoubtedly awesome. Your own personal roadmap from doubt to flow. Check out our website. You can do that survey and figure out who you are. www.undoubtedlyawesome.com. So thanks again, Anne, and sharing your wealth of information.
Oh, my pleasure. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Okay. This is Chris Stainis and founder of Woman of Wisdom Foundation. We're going to have a couple events coming up. We're sponsoring one with it's in West Seattle. It's an immigration and refugee support workshop on June 3rd. Very important topic here. And also July 9th, we do a Mankind Project, Woman of Wisdom Day, and we deal with the gender issues. It's going to be very current, what's going on within our country right now, misogyny, with all the kind of we've all been witnessing what's been going on. And so we're going to have a day of looking at how we can approach each other with love and understanding, and it's a great day. It's our fourth year doing it, and it's in a lovely home, a beautiful backyard, 4 acres of beautiful land in Redmond. So you can check that out on our website, womanofwisdom.org, and check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. You can find that on Amazon. You can find it on our website, womanofwisdom.org, and it's also on Kindle now. So, okay, we have to go now. I hope everybody has a great Memorial Day weekend. It's a beautiful sunny weekend in Seattle. Yay. And everybody be safe. Drive safe.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.